sit at the
Emerging. Good morning. I'm calling this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue to order. This is Thursday, May 9th. Two public hearings, two work sessions, and we're going to take things in an order different than what's printed on the agenda. We are going to hear Senate Bill 500 first. I'm opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 500A. Would you please introduce it for us?
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 500 is a bill regarding property tax exemptions. This bill would increase the amount of exemption for veterans and their surviving spouses.
Thank you, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you particularly for scheduling this. I do have a script that I used the first time. I found that sometimes scripts are good. It was good the first time because we got it through revenue on the other side. And I apologize. My name is Alan Olson. I'm a state senator representing Senate District 20. Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for this opportunity. Back to my script. I am a veteran. And being a veteran, we're a brotherhood and sisterhood. We're all members of the military, or we're members of the military. The state, in its benevolence, saw long ago that property taxes were an impact to veterans. And we said, we honor your service. So we gave them a property tax exemption, starting years and years and years ago. As a matter of fact, it goes so far back that there's property tax exemption mentioned for Civil War veterans. That's how long we've been giving property tax exemptions. That's how long we've been collecting property taxes, which is okay. Senate Bill 500 was originally written that the categories that are available, in other words, if you are a service-related veteran and you have a disability of 40% or more, the dollar amount of exemption recently was $18,000. If you were non-service related, that dollar amount was a $15,000 exemption. And your spouses, surviving spouses, were able to collect that exemption if that veteran died. It's been 14 years since we changed that amount. We changed it from $8,250 to $8,750. And then it went to $15,000. So I thought that with our new breed of veterans, the new cadre of veterans that are coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're coming back to Oregon, they found that housing prices are a lot different than they were 30, 40, and 50 years ago. As an example, an Iraq war veteran coming back that has a home that has an assessed value of $200,000, and that 14 years at an average increase of 3.5%. And I got that information from the Revenue Department, and 3.5, the average increase by law can only go up 3%, but with extra bonds and measures like that, the average is 3.5% increase. A $200,000 home assessed value of $200,000 would have increased to an assessed value of $323,732 in 14 years. Pretty good increase. It's pretty good if you own the home. But the exemption went from $18,000 up to $27,222, which is a $9,223 increase. So you can see that the exemption certainly helps, but it's certainly not significant in the cost of their increased property taxes. I can go back and look at my speech. It explains everything that happens, but I want to explain to you why I brought this bill and how important it is. You see, as veterans, the first thing that happens when you go into the military is they give you a weapon. They teach you how to take it apart, grease it, lubricate it, take care of it, because it's your lifeblood. You have to have that. The second thing they do is they teach you how to kill people. And I hate to be graphic about this, but the fact is that's the truth as a veteran. And most veterans go in, great minds, they're comfortable in their life, everything else. They volunteer, some were drafted, I was drafted. And when you go in, you don't have a preconceived idea of what will happen. But as you're in there and you learn how to do things that you never thought you'd be taught, would you ever expect that someone would teach you how to kill someone? Not only with a weapon, but with your hands? Your mind changes. When you go in, you're at one state. When you come out, you're in another state. And the reason you are, some of us, I ended up in Korea, which was still a war zone. Some of us went to war zones, and they see friends killed. They see other people killed. They see devastation. That's what the military does. They teach you how to destroy things, to blow things up. That's how you win wars, and it's unfortunate. But when our veterans come back, their minds have changed. Their lives have changed. Everybody admits that, and that's why we have a program that allows these veterans to get a disability rating for what they've done. Some have come back with horrific wounds, and it's unfortunate. But we as a state recognize the fact that they're important to us because they've defended our freedoms. And we've given them these exemptions. The situation we have now is the fact that the exemption hasn't changed, and that's why I'm asking to increase it. Now, I'm personally, in my bill, Senate Bill 500, we've done two things. Actually, we've done three things. We have eliminated the increase in exemption for those non-service related that are disabled. A non-service disability, you can go to a physician, a naturopathic physician, or a doctor, a psychologist, whatever, and get an exemption, but it's not service related. That in Senate Bill 500 currently does not change. They still get the exemption of $15,000, which now has increased to $22,000. Those that are 40% disabled, their increase goes from currently at $26,500 up to $45,000 would be their exemption. And I've added a third category. If you're 100% disabled and you can't work, and you rely on the government for your subsistence, I'm asking for a $100,000 exemption for those folks. And in so doing, I've given the counties the opportunity in this legislation to have sidebars to say that you can do a means test on the $100,000 exemption. If a person makes $2 million a year and they're 100% disabled, they can get the $45,000 exemption, but not the $100,000 exemption. But I have a friend that I actually, it was very graphic. I saw a picture of him in a Vietnam War narrative that got blown up by a mortar. He lives in my town. He's a good friend of mine. He's 100% disabled. He's been in a wheelchair since 1968. He lives off the government, the largesse that the government gives him. His increases per year are 2.4%, but his property taxes go up at 3.5%. So in this situation, in Senate Bill 500, asked the counties to be able to do a means test and say, would this gentleman qualify under your means test to get a $100,000 exemption to help him stay in his home? Remember, some of the homeless that we have on the street are veterans. Many of the homeless on the street are veterans. This is a good opportunity to help them stay in homes. I know there's pushback. When I first explained this to a group of folks, they were 100% on board. And then they looked and they said, well, this is going to cost us some money. Yes, it is. At what cost did our veterans pay to go overseas and serve? That's the question that has to be asked. Is the amount of money that we are going to, shall I don't want to say deny, but that the counties cannot collect due to property taxes, is it sufficient to say to the veterans that have come back disabled, you're taking our money? We need that money. Talk to the veterans, talk to them, ask them. This is important for them. They deserve it. They've earned it. They've given. The counties are concerned. They have some changes. I just heard that there was a dash four. Heard that last night, didn't see it, heard about it this morning. I'm concerned about it, and the reason I am is when you allow counties, each county to make a different decision, a different amount for different veterans, it's not fair. Veterans, no matter what county they've in, have served, done their duty. They should all be treated equally across the board. You shouldn't be allowed to have a discretion is, will I give this veteran this amount, and will this county give that veteran that amount? We all did our duty. We all served. It's a difficult decision, and I know it is. But when one looks at the list, the appreciation of the market value that gets taxed every year on a $200,000 house, 14 years, they were going up $10,000, $11,000 a year in assessed value that they had to pay taxes on. I know it's a difficult choice, and I know it's difficult for the counties. But I want the counties to look in the mirror and say, can we deny our veterans? Can we deny those that served? Can we deny those that have sacrificed? Thank you very much. I'll take any questions.
Thank you. We're probably not going to need to pepper you with questions at this point. Representative Drazen has come into the room.
Pepper away if you'd like.
Pepper him as me. Hi, Senator.
Hello. Thank you.
No, stay. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Vice Chair Finley and Vice Chair Marsh, members of the committee. Thank you for having me today. For the record, my name is Christine Drazen. I am the state representative for House District 39. And my district includes Canby, Charbonneau, Estacada, Molino, rural Oregon City, unincorporated Clackamas County, portions of Clackamas, Happy Valley, Boring, and Damascus, the recently potentially reincorporated community of formerly unincorporated Damascus. Yeah. But I also represent Veterans Village. Veterans Village is a transitional shelter community for homeless veterans located on Clackamas County-owned land in Clackamas, Oregon. I serve on the Planning Commission in Clackamas County, and it was an agenda of Clackamas County Commissioners to begin to be responsive to our homeless vets in the county. And when they would do homeless counts and they would discover that some of our homeless community were from our veteran community, they decided to ask the Planning Commission to make a legislative change and allow for a transitional shelter to be sited on county-owned industrial land, which we did. Since that time, the facility has opened. This is troubling to me. I mean, in Clackamas County, as well as across Oregon, our veterans, like many Oregonians, are facing challenges finding and keeping affordable housing. And this is part of why I think Senate Bill 500 is so incredibly important. What this is going to do, based on the hard work of Senator Olson and others, is update an important and critical program that we have that is responsive to the fact that veterans who have service-related disabilities have unique challenges, they've served our country, and we have, in my view, a duty to support them. by offering increased property tax exemptions to veterans with service-connected disabilities. Senate Bill 500 supports these veterans and allows them to stay in their homes. What I don't want to have to do is expand the pods that are available at Veterans Village any sooner than we have to. This bill sends a message not only to those who have previously served, but to those who will serve in the future. If you put on the uniform of the United States of America, if you fight to defend our nation, when you return home, you will be supported. Your service will be honored, and we will stand with you as you navigate civilian life, especially those who have service-related disabilities. And I want to thank Senator Olson for all the hard work he's put in on this bill. This is very important legislation, and I am proud to support it with him.
Questions for the legislators?
Madam Chair, if I may, if one would look on OLIS and look at Senate Bill 500, you'll see that on the Senate side, we were unanimous in supporting that bill. And we have many on this side that are chief sponsors, including one on your dais. And I'd ask that you consider what they thought of the bill when you look at amendments and when you look at the substance of the bill itself. I would appreciate that consideration. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, live long and prosper.
Thank you. We have several other people signed up to testify. Would the following people please come forward? Wayne Harvey and Steve Bates.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chairs, members of the committee, my fellow veterans, distinguished guests. For the record, my name is Wayne Harvey. I am a veteran from Happy Valley. I served in the United States Army for 20 years, and I'm the immediate past chairman of the United Veterans Groups of Oregon, the UVGO, and the immediate past president of the Retired Enlisted Association of Oregon. I come today to join my fellow veterans to add my support to Senate Bill 500 with its Dash 2 amendment. This legislation will increase the tax exemption for property taxes for our most deserving disabled veterans and their surviving spouses. I want to thank you for holding this hearing today, as well as thank Senator Olson and Senator Manning, Representative Smith, and the other co-sponsors of this bill for their unwavering commitment to improving the lives of our veterans and their families here in Oregon and for sponsoring this needed piece of legislation. Hopefully, one day Oregon can follow Alabama, Arkansas, Hawaii, Maryland, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas, Virginia, and Washington State, where totally disabled veterans receive a complete full property tax exemption. For now, I believe the Senate Bill 500 will go a long way in helping Oregon to do what we can to lessen the financial strain on these veterans that have given so much for the state and for our nation. The current bill, when it was originally written, and then there were some compromises made with the counties, as I understand it, political maneuvering to include the means test and so forth. I know that you're going to hear testimony today to further amend the bill, to water it down some more, and so that, it, as Senator Olson articulated, it would be different for veterans depending on which county they lived in. I urge you not to do that and to please consider the bill as it stands this morning without any further amendments. We recognize at the veterans groups throughout the state that the counties do suffer in funding issues for their veteran service officers. We've made a great deal of progress in the last couple of years from the veterans lottery bill that passed, and a lot of that funding has helped with the VSOs and so forth. So I strongly urge your support to move this particular bill out of committee, into a work session and out of committee with a due pass recommendation and onto the House chamber floor for a vote as needed as soon as possible. Subject to your questions. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson, Vice Chair Finley, Vice Chair Marsh, and committee members. I'm Steve Bates. I'm the chair of the Committee on Memorials and Remembrance. That's an affiliation with the Vietnam Veterans of America. For almost 100 years, Oregon has honored its wounded warriors or disabled veterans with a property tax exemption. At one time, research shows this exemption was over 100% of the value of the median single-family dwelling in Oregon. This is fitting as our wounded warriors have given a portion of their body, a part of their being, in the service of our country. But this exemption has been reduced to less than 10% of the value of a median-priced single-family home. The original Oregon state statute that authorizes the property tax exemption references Civil War disabled veterans and their surviving spouses. This demonstrates our state's long-standing commitment to our disabled veterans. This law has been modified only a few times since 1953. When real estate values started escalating in the late 1970s, the disabled veterans property tax exemption started to dwindle. The exemption amounts remained the same while the assessed valuation of properties grew. The amount of exemption becomes less and less. The Oregon state statute controlling the amount of disabled veteran property tax exemption was not updated during the time that property values soared in the 1980s and 1990s. Over the past several years, there have been attempts to correct this situation. The 2005 legislature did make some amends. A 3% annual increase was to the disabled veteran's property tax exemption. A disabled veteran inferred in a 2015 testimony that the 3% increase every year would not even buy a dinner for two. In other words, not enough. What was once 100% is now less than 10%. Do we still care about our disabled veterans? Well, I think we do. They made a sacrifice for all of us. We must make sure that they are appropriately honored. Because political sentiment identifies that 100% exemption would be too costly in our counties and cities, Senate Bill 500 is a compromise. This bill also addresses the severely disabled veteran. It creates a new category that would allow an even greater property tax exemption if certain requirements are met. Senate Bill 500 also gives the local county commission the option to control the levels of that exemption. It will not be 100%. This is a compromise that should be nonpartisan. Senate Bill 500 is doing something. Previous legislative sessions have come and gone, and little or nothing has been done. Something is better than nothing. Let Oregon once again stand for our wounded warriors. Let us increase the disabled veteran property tax exemption this year. Please pass Senate Bill 500 as it stands today onto the floor of the House with a recommendation of due pass. I thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for this panel? Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Next, we will hear from if all four of you could come up, that would probably speed things along. Andy Smith, Alex Kyler, Mike Howes, Jonathan Schluter.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson, Vice Chair Marsh, and Vice Chair Finley. My name is Andy Smith. I work for the Association of Oregon Counties. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today at Senate Bill 500. I want to pretty quickly get to our position on the bill and walk you through where AOC is, but to give you a little background in our work related to veterans, As you may know, AOC is comprised of all of Oregon's 36 counties. We work on behalf of 120 county commissioners. We've had a long-standing advocacy role for veterans, the 303,000 veterans and their families that currently reside in Oregon. And centrally, our work, a big piece of our work, has been connected to county VSOs. They've been mentioned today. But those are the frontline staff. That's a state-county partnership where we share that funding to ensure that veterans have access to their earned benefits. So it's a, you know, critically important function. That's where they access a number of their benefits, whether they be the GI Bill, educational, other educational benefits, health care benefits, the VA hospital system. And then centrally, the biggest benefits are called compensation, low-income pension and disability compensation. And those are huge benefits for our veterans. And to give you a little perspective, those are about $1.3 billion a year that come to our veterans. And over the last 10 years, those have doubled. They come directly to veterans. So that's the central piece that we've always worked on and are happy that we can help support that work. We very much thank Senator Olson for bringing this bill. Our commissioners, one more piece of background, our steering committee on this work, we have three commissioners that chair our committee. One is from Klamath County, one is from Clackamas, one is from Lane County. We've had a longstanding veterans committee. We're one of the few in the country that has kind of a dedicated veterans policy committee and budget committee at the county, at the AOC level. So we support the bill with a final few tweaks, and I want to be very clear on what these tweaks are. They're different amendments that are referred to up here. They're amendments that have been submitted and we're working on. Basically what they do, the amendments they're asking for, do two things. One, we have this middle category. The middle category is for 40% to 99% veterans that are service-connected, disabled, 40% to 99% rating, and they, under the bill, would go to $45,000. Then the second new exemption is the one for veterans that are 100% plus. So the 100% plus in the current version of the bill does have a means test, so Senate Bill 500A has that means test. We're happy about that because some of our counties are in situations, you know, their budgets are very tight. Hood River is a classic example of that, where they may have to lay off a CVSO. But the point is, almost all of the counties I've heard from would not implement these means tests, but some may or might. So there is a means test in the bill for this category that's currently there. What we would like is the middle category, the $45,000 exemption, that's for veterans that are 40 to 99% service-connected, disabled, to also have that means test available. So that's really the central amendment that we're seeking. There is, in our amendments that we've talked about, there's a language about that a county could make this a household income test. So it's not just the veterans, it would be the veteran and the spouse. So in other words, this would allow a county, if they wanted to do it, again, this is all May, this many counties, I haven't heard from, but for maybe one or two counties that would need to do this, but they could under the bill. But the means test would also allow for household income. So that's the second piece of amendment that we'd like and seek. And then there is a clarification in the amendments that we think is very positive for veterans. It relates, and I want to explain this because it is in the amendments, but it's a fixing the bill in another way that's not really substantive, other than the VA, you can have a rating of 40 and 60% in the VA. You could have two conditions. It could be your knee and a behavioral health condition. 40 and 60, that sounds like 100. The VA, in their technical work, you're not 100%. But there's another way they can say, if those combination, and they call it, it's a technical term that the VA uses, we want to make sure that the statute includes that, so we actually get veterans in that would fall into this little hole. So that is something a little bit different that we saw. It came up, one of our VSOs noticed that, and they say some veterans are not going to be able to get the 100%. So that is in the amendment as well. But centrally, what our hope is that we could have this means test in the middle category as well as the other two, because the other two do have them under the current version of the bill. And then again, that we would have a household means test if a county wanted to use that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Alex Kyler. I'm Lane County's Intergovernmental Relations Manager here in support of Senate Bill 500A. We do have an amendment that is posted on OLIS. It's the A4 amendment, and I'll get to that, the details of that amendment in a second. Senate Bill 500 was a bill that we took to our legislative committee immediately. It was a topic of our very first meeting in this session. And one of the things that we talked about was to try to seek an amendment that would give counties and a sort of a cleaner administrative path to deal with the issue of the means test. Whenever you insert an income test into the property tax assessment office, you're asking the assessor to deal with documents that are become public records, and they have to do with income of an individual. In an era where our assessment offices have been struggling for resources, we were trying to do anything to make sure that we could streamline that process as much as possible. As the bill has evolved, we think we've got, you know, a solution. There's probably other solutions out there, and we're happy to continue conversations on that. I do want to mention that Lane County has been really committed to veterans' housing issues. We have a well-known program called Operation 365, which cited a veteran into a living situation, a home. The goal was one veteran for every day of the year, and we accomplished that goal in 2017. In 2018, we exceeded that and cited over 400 veterans into housing in Lane County. So what we really want to see with this bill is a tool that allows us to keep veterans in their homes rather than into a situation where we're then trying to find them additional housing. So we really do embrace the concept of this property tax exemption. I want to clarify, this is a property tax exemption for veterans who do own homes and who are disabled. So to the amendment that we brought, you heard Senator Olson, and we very much appreciate his work, but he has always wanted this statewide consistency. And so inserting this choice, as Andy Smith has described, is not impossible. It's just additionally burdensome because of the records that we have to deal with. There would be an ordinance that would have to be developed by the county. And notably, you're going to leave some veterans out, or at least move them around as you know, use the means test to mitigate the revenue impacts. For Lane County, under Senate Bill 500A, the impact to the county alone is about $150,000. And when I see those kinds of numbers, I immediately think of a deputy sheriff or a deputy DA. Those are the sort of costs that are involved. So we were looking for ways to mitigate those costs. Under the means test, the only way we can do that is by reducing the income eligibility, which automatically is going to leave some veterans out or shift them to another place. And so we're trying to avoid that. And so what we do with the A4 amendment is make there be no means test. We lower the amount slightly across the board, and that impact is more manageable for the county and gives the statewide consistency. I want to say one thing about statewide consistency. Lane County was involved in the Seven Counties Project, we called it, where it was a innovative funding proposal out of the governor's office that we were able to get some money for back in 2015. Seven assessors in southwestern Oregon got together with the leadership of former Lane County Commissioner Sid Lykin, and we tried to figure out ways to do assessment and taxation on a regional basis. Ultimately, five counties participated with Lane County Assessor Mike Coles, who's here in the lead of that program. And the point I'm trying to make is that when there is consistency, those kinds of regional programs are easier to administer and easier to centralize. Whereas if we'd had, you know, potentially five different counties with five different approaches to this particular item within the assessor's office, that kind of efficiency would be harder to gain. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chairs, member of the committee. I am Mike Coles, Lane County Assessor and Tax Collector. Today I'm speaking on behalf of Lane County, not Osaka, which I am president of. As assessor, I've been assessor for about six years now. I've been at the county for 27 years, almost 28 years. I've seen a lot of different exemption programs over the years, exemption programs from agricultural to machinery to everything you could think of as far as from economic development. The Veterans Exemption Program is a very important program, and it's to me, it's one of the most important programs that we do have. The program not only provides needed relief for lower income veterans or veterans that are struggling to keep their houses, it also provides a mechanism for veterans that do not currently own houses to be able to afford and move into a residence that they may not be able to afford without this exemption program. I fully support this SB 500 with the Dash 4 amendment, as Alex has indicated. We have several modifications that are noted on the display. The modifications are very important in that, as indicated, consistency among statewide assessors is very important. Not having veterans that are currently on the program being vetted out based on income when they're tabbing it right now, and next year they may not have it based on an income requirement. That's also very important. In closing, I would just like to say I strongly support this program. And as representative of Osaka, as the president of Osaka, Osaka's neutral on the program or on the bill. The reason why we're neutral is we stay on the administrative side and not on the policy side. It is administratable as it is. We prefer it to be implemented in 2020. However, Osaka does have a neutral stance just because of the administrative nature, which again is administratable, but the policy issues we tend to stay out of. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson and Vice Chairs Marsh and Finley. For the record, my name is Jonathan Schleter. I'm the Government Relations Manager for Washington County. And we also are in support of Senate Bill 500 and are very eager to support this legislation and the increasing exemption for disabled military veterans. But we want to applaud Senator Olson for his sponsorship and leadership in this effort, and we want to be very supportive. We've worked with him on a number of amendments for this bill to make it better, and this committee deserves to understand that in Washington County, I'm sorry to report that we have 11,700 disabled military veterans. Of those, 187 are totally disabled, and that leaves 3,300 participating in the program who are partially disabled, currently receiving the exemption. So it's important for this committee to understand that only 28% of disabled military veterans in Washington County currently participate in the exemption of their property tax. What this means is that not everybody owns property. There are renters, there are homeless, and there are those who choose not to apply for the exemption at all for various choices. Understand that this is only going to benefit a portion of the disabled military veterans out there. But number two, realize too that this bill places the responsibility for determining the disability exemption on either the county commission or our assessment and taxation department. What that means is that we become judge and jury in Washington County for 40 different districts, including 13 school districts, the community college, and education service districts, and 12 cities in Washington County and our service districts. We are making the exemption. Washington County only stands to lose, by whatever exemption is created, 16% of the revenue collected. The other revenue is distributed to those other districts. It is therefore our responsibility to make sure that we understand and have a clean, explainable program that we can present to the community and explain why we are doing and how we're benefiting the deserving disabled military veterans. We accept all of the premises that have been laid out in support of this bill and the need for consistency between counties. But we don't have that if we have a means test in one county that is different than the means test applied in a second county or a fourth. And we want to have equal treatment for people of equal standing across the state. So we accept the premises. We come to a different conclusion as to how to get there. We ask for the consideration of the committee in that as you consider the merits of the Dash 4 amendments. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Questions? Representative
Rush. Not a question, it's just a comment. And that is Klamath County, which is part of my district, mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, the population that serves is 1%. So 1% of our population serves in the armed forces. In Klamath County, 7% of our population are veterans. And so I want to make sure that we're real careful in crafting this, that don't penalize communities that have a higher population of veterans and therefore restrict funding for counties because of that. But I also want to give flexibility to those counties so they can make up for take that into account. So it's
thank you, Representative Reschke. It looks like we have, even though we don't have additional questions for you or of the other people who testified today, looks like we have a lot to consider because there's an amended version of a bill and now an additional amendment to consider. And one of the final statements in the testimony was there may be the same objective, but just different ways to approach how to solve the problem. So we have quite a bit to mull over in the next few days. Thank you all for being here. We do need to move on. If it's less than 60 seconds, okay, but we need to move on. Thank you. No one else has signed up to testify. I'm closing the public hearing on Senate Bill 500A. I'm opening the public hearing on House Bill 2137A.
Okay, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2137A is a bill that will sound somewhat familiar to this committee. It's identical to House Bill 2237, which this committee heard on February 28th. So what the bill does is it's really making two primary changes or two ways to categorize it. And the first is extending the sunset of the Agricultural Workforce Housing Construction Tax Credit. And this is one of the tax credits that's up for the standard review. So the underlying change there is just simply moving that six-year sunset out or moving the sunset 6 years additional to the existing credit. The second piece is creating a refundable income tax credit. This is available to individuals or corporations, and it's relating to costs necessary to operate specified housing for agricultural workers. In this case, the refundable credit would equal 50% of the eligible operation costs incurred during the tax year for essentially used for that agricultural workforce housing. There is a requirement that Housing and Community Services would certify the credit before it's claimed. There are provisions aligned for the transferability of the credit, and there is a placeholder right now in the underlying measure of an overall annual limit for the credit. So that is unspecified. It's a blank in the bill, but there is a placeholder for that annual amount each year that would limit the credit, and it would be applicable beginning tax years 2020 through 2025.
Thank you. I'd like to hear from Jonathan Sandow and Peter Hanley.
Good morning, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. Jonathan Sandow with Oregon Farm Bureau. I was before you back in February for House Bill 2237, here again in support of 2137. Came out of ag and land use. It's the same structure of the bill. I'll be brief. We support this and the amendments that came through. I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. Peter Hanley, CASA of Oregon. CASA has worked for the last 30 years developing housing around the state, farm worker housing, particularly in areas the eastern side. A number of the reps have this housing in their districts. We have been working with the Farm Bureau and other growers around the new tax credit as an opportunity to bring in some growers that maybe aren't registered at this time. We think it's also an opportunity for some of our community partners to participate in a different way using the tax credit within the private housing stock. We recently in Boardman used the farm worker tax credit to do some replacement housing in a manufactured housing park co-op that the residents owned. And so we think there's some opportunities with the regular tax credit, with renewal of the regular tax credit, as well as with this new tax credit. And we would urge you to pass this along to tax credits. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is Marcia Kelly.
I have a comment. I'll wait till the end.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, Marcia Kelly, the Oregon Women's Rights Coalition, specializing, I think, in tax credits and tax expenditures. I'd like to call your attention to the numbers of tax credits that are available to the farm industry. Not all of them related directly to housing, but they still start combining for a healthy economy. Cancellation before ballot measure 5, cancellation of debts for farmers, fertilizer and soil conditioner costs, that's 1.6 million estimated in the next biennium. Farm worker housing lenders credit, the bill that this is addressing, the agricultural workforce housing construction, crop donation, agricultural housing and daycare as a property tax. Farm machinery and equipment is a property tax that has been expanded this session. Crops, plants, and fruit trees, private farm and logging roads, farmland, and farm home sites. Those are prior to ballot measure 5. And after ballot measure 5, we have tax credits for extended carryback of farming loss, income averaging for farmers, capital gains from farm property, and bovine manure. There are lots of ways that we are helping our farmers. Extending the operation costs of farm workers' housing would be yet another tax credit against the potential of spending money for education and other needed things that the state general fund funds. So I would really consider this carefully. I understand it probably is going to go to tax credits, but I've attached the sheet that I'm working on, both for prior to ballot measure 5, and then the sheet that I have compiled on the tax expenditure since ballot measure 5, based on the Department of Revenue's Excel spreadsheet.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Representative Rushkin, you would like to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So maybe I've just got a hangover from the gigabit flu. But in hearing both of these bills, I know we're done with Senate Bill 500, but again, we're meddling in property taxes, which isn't money to the state, it's money to counties and municipalities. And that makes me a little nervous. And this bill has a similar issue, the gigabit, in that it's authorized by Housing and Human Services, but is there a connection to DOR that guarantees that if Housing and Human Services says aye, that DOR will say aye? Because we had that problem with the gigabit that PUC said, yes, go ahead and spend this money, it's approved, and then DOR said, no, it doesn't qualify. And so I'm a little concerned about that part of it. Maybe it's not an issue, but when I hear one agency giving approval and it's not DOR, I get a little nervous.
Any other committee comments? Reactions? Thank you, Representative Rushkin. Opening yet another can of worms.
That's right.
Sorry. He's good at that.
Yeah.
Legislative Revenue Office, do you have any comments on anything that was raised today, or are we ready to close the public hearing?
Madam Chair, just as another note, I suppose, so the committee's aware of it, there is a identical bill, Senate Bill 114, that is already in the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures as well. So we have that.
114,
yeah, that's already moved through on the Senate side from the policy committee, so it is there as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 2137A. And We'll stand at ease for just a moment while I figure out the next part of our agenda. Thank you, everyone. We're back in session. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2133.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2133, this is one of the income tax credits up for review. This is the personal income tax credit available for certain retirement and income of individuals 62 years or older. We do have the fiscal impact. There is no impact on the fiscal side. You will find the revenue impact statement in OLIS, and it's about $700,000 or so per year, or $1.3 million per biennium is the expectation.
Okay.
Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 2133 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures.
Vice Chair Marsh moves House Bill 2133 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures. Any discussion? Objections? Okay, motion passes. I am closing the work session on House Bill 2133, opening a work session on House Bill 2138.
Okay, Madam Chair, this is another credit that's up for review. Again, this is the $250 personal income tax credit for individuals that are licensed providers of emergency medical services that volunteer in rural areas. Again, the fiscal in this case is no impact, and the revenue impact is about $100,000 per year.
Thank you.
Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 2138 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures.
Vice Chair Marsh moves House Bill 2138 to the floor with due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. That takes care of this bill. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2138. No other business on our agenda. We are adjourned.